A quarter of all Palestinians in Gaza are starving. That is more than 500,000 people. That number is expected to rise to more than 640,000 within the next 6 weeks. Those figures were provided by experts from the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, the IPC, a globally recognised organisation which classifies the severity of food insecurity and malnutrition. It found that there is an entirely man-made famine taking place inside Gaza as Israel continues to restrict food aid entering Gaza. It comes as Israeli troops advance their military takeover of Gaza City today. We're joined now by Rosalie Bollin, UNICEF Communications Specialist for Palestine. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
The declaration of famine, which came on Friday, confirms what most observers will already know about the level of suffering that's going on inside Gaza. Can you tell us about the reports that you have been getting?
Yes. So Friday has been an extremely painful and sad day for all of us because in UNICEF we monitor malnutrition in children below five and in pregnant and breastfeeding women, and we have seen a very sharp deterioration over the past 6 months, over the past half a year. We've been warning the world, we've been very vocal about this catastrophe that is unfolding under our eyes, and to then get confirmation from an independent expert panel. That's a recognition of how bad things are. But what our point was is that we shouldn't be waiting for famine to be declared, because we know the trajectory, and by the time it is declared, it will be too late for some people. We've seen the reports of children dying of starvation. Allegedly 114 children have died in this war so far. But what we see in our data is a 500% increase in malnutrition in children among five between February and July. But it's not just the expansion in terms of the numbers. We also see proportionally more and more children with the most severe, the most serious form of malnutrition. And it's that form that is particularly dangerous. So we need action now. This is entirely man-made. This is a result of engineered scarcity. There was no acute malnutrition in Gaza in September 2023, before the war started.
And this is all happening as Israel advances its military takeover of Gaza City. And there are further reports today of more bombing and explosions on the outskirts of Gaza City, a city where the citizens are starving, as you've been saying. What impact is that advancing assault going to have on those people as they are being forced out of that city?
So it's important for the listeners to realize that there's still about 1 million people left, according to our estimates, in the northern part of Gaza, and they're very largely concentrated in Gaza City. So we are talking about a very important population, and these people are in Gaza City because during the ceasefire earlier this year, they went back to their homes hoping to be able to go back to the homes and retrieve some belongings. I was in touch with our team in Gaza City right before this call. In the area where they stay, they don't see any troops yet, but they have been hearing constant explosions and gunfire, and it's frankly terrifying. You know, any humanitarian you will speak to will tell you that we are at the very worst point in this war. We're already at a disastrous moment that was just confirmed on Friday with famine. So what the Gaza Strip needs is less military action, not more. We need aid to enter at scale, to flow to children and their families. We need the hostages to be released. And the way to achieve that is the ceasefire, as February showed this year.
Israel has rejected the assertion of a famine. It has also denied that it's restricting aid, although those claims have been widely discredited by reputable organisations. What level of aid is getting into Gaza at the moment?
So since the 19th of May, UNICEF and a few other UN sister agencies have been allowed to resume the entry of some supplies. But we have two issues because we're not allowed to bring in the full range of our supplies. For instance, we have over 30 neonatal intensive care ventilators that we're not allowed to bring in. We have learning supplies. We have materials that we need to patch up and repair water infrastructure. All of that can't enter. So the type of supplies are limited, but also in terms of the numbers, we're nowhere where we need to be. We have a couple of dozen UN trucks entering on a daily basis, but where we need to arrive at is the more than 600 trucks that were entering daily during the ceasefire. And importantly, that was a combination of humanitarian aid and commercial supplies, because humanitarians alone are not going to be able to fix this. We have a population of over 2 million people who have been deprived of the basics they need for more than 22 months. They are at the complete mercy of what enters from the outside world. They're unable to cultivate their own food due to the widespread destruction. And so we need all hands on deck. We need the private sector to bring in fresh produce. And an entity like UNICEF, we bring in very specialized therapeutic supplies, therapeutic products for children with acute malnutrition, but we don't bring in fruit and vegetables.
Okay. Rosalie Abolin from UNICEF, thank you very much for speaking with us this afternoon.